continuing on the Lord's Prayer here, the model prayer. Remember it said here in verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." God is in heaven, and oh, bless his name. His name is holy. And we pray for his kingdom to come. Come in our hearts. Come in the hearts of our loved ones, our grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors. Set up his rules. Set up his spiritual kingdom in the hearts and minds of men. We want his will done in our lives and in earth, even as it is in heaven. And then, you know, give us this day our daily bread was the last message I brought from here. And how that we pray for him to give us our necessities every day. Every day. Tonight I'm going to deal with forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There where it says forgive us our debts as we forgive us our debtors. Now there's something really unusual about this prayer in that it's out of tune with religious thought and rhetoric today. It's just out of tune with it. You know, it's so out of tune with our selfish selves. It's out of tune with our self-centeredness. Because in this petition, in this Lord's Prayer here, in this model prayer, there's only one thing dealing with our bodies. Dealing with our bodies. Everything else deals with eternity and our souls before God in our hearts. Give us this day our daily bread. That's the only thing that deals with temporal life, the body. And you know, in this world, that's all it's interested. That's all the preachers are interested in. They count bodies. They count heads. They make merchandise of men's soul. And we are self-centered and so selfish that we're more concerned with the needs of our body than we are anything else. With ourselves. But there's two petitions. For every petitioner, there's two petitions for the soul. But all of our needs are met in these three things. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. All of our needs are in all three of those things. Everything we need for time and eternity is in these three things. Our whole life is found in these three things. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins. Yes. As we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation. Save us from evil. That's our whole life found right there. In these three short sins. Our Lord, the whole life of a believer is dealt with right here in every respect. First of all, we have our physical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. That counts, that takes care of our physical needs. You remember when Agur, the son of Agur, he said, "Lord, give me food convenient for me. Don't let me be rich, lest I deny you. Don't let me be poor, lest I still take your name in vain. Just give me what's convenient for me. That's all I want." So all of our physical needs, what we need, we pray, "Lord, give us this day." And it's a gift. We thank God for the days that He gives us. Thank God for the peace that we have for the day. And every opportunity you get to rejoice and relax and rest in Christ, take it, because there'll be plenty enough troubles and trials and tears to do you. And the Lord will give you the grace for the day. And so we have our temporal needs met. Give us, oh God, give us today what we need today. Our necessities for today. And you know what we need. We don't know what we need. We think we may need one thing and God says we need another. And then it meets our mental needs. Because of all of our needs, we care about what we're going to get today. We don't have to take care for tomorrow. And when we have our sins forgiven, that quietens our, gives us peace of mind, gives us peace of heart. And when God, we pray, "Lord, lead us not into temptation," we're not afraid of being led astray, that God will keep us from the evil. And then all of our spiritual needs. The body and soul and spirit is covered in these three things. Provided for and remembered in this prayer. That first deals with our physical life. And the second one deals with our cleansing from sin. And its guilt. And our relationship with others in this world. Look what he said. Forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors. Forgive us. Forgive us. Want forgiveness. Need forgiveness. Desire forgiveness. And the last one deals with my need of being kept from sin and His power. Lead us not into temptation. Oh, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Don't let temptation, don't lead us toward, you know us, Lord, but deliver us from evil. Don't lead us where we'll be tried in that. Don't let that happen to us. And beloved, of all these things here, it teaches us this, that we ought to be more concerned for our souls than anything else. You see, the soul is the very breath of God, and that means that it's capable of communion with God. This body can't commune with God. And so man became a living soul when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And our soul is the very breath of God, the life of God. And what it means, beloved, is that this soul is capable of communing with God, fellowshipping with God, talking to God, experiencing God, resting in God. And the soul and the heart is the same, one and the same. And so that's why we ought to care so much for the soul, because it communes, it actually goes out to God. It can experience the power and presence of God. The soul can, the flesh can't. That's why people, I don't have any, you know, people say, boy, I felt I had goosebumps in church this morning. I felt the Spirit because I'd listen. I get goosebumps listening to people sing the Star Spangled Banner. And singing America the Beautiful. I get goosebumps over that. But oh, I want my soul. That's why, you know, God seeketh such to worship Him in spirit. Yeah. It's the soul and the spirit that worships God and fellowships with God. And second reason we ought to give more concern for our souls is our souls are immortal. They're immortal. Once they come into existence, they'll never go out of existence. Never. Right. And I'll tell you something else about the soul. The soul can act without the body. Our soul can act without the body. All of our souls act without our body. We can call on God. We can commune with God. We can feel with our soul. David says, my soul is my darling. And so, you know, the soul can act without the body. And it will act without the body. When the body returns to dust, and it will, it'll go back to dust and ashes from whence it comes, the soul will still live on. The soul, that part that God made, will live on. And how we ought to be more concerned for the soul than for our bodies. Oh my, be more concerned for the soul than for our bodies. And oh, and how sad it is that people, and me included, I have spells like, and I've done it, and I'll probably do it again, but how sad it is that people care more about the body than they do the soul. Oh my, they're more concerned for the dressing up the body than they are for the soul being dressed in the righteousness of Christ. They're more concerned for the best that they can put on their body instead of having the best that God would give them in Christ. And yet they're more dressed to dress it up, put the best on it, and yet they don't care how naked and undressed their souls are before God. And when God said, you know, when Adam was in the garden and he partook of that fruit, and the Lord came walking in the cool of the day and said, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, I'm naked. What part of him made him know that he was naked? God made him naked. He didn't know anything about nakedness. What part? It was that soul part. That consciousness of being in the presence of God and being naked before God.
Amen.
And oh, we don't want to be naked and undressed before God. I don't want to be naked before God, do you? And oh, and then and there's people care more for the body than the soul. They feed the flesh, cater to the flesh, mind the flesh, make provision for the flesh. And yet let the soul starve. Let it starve. Get interested in the things of this world and the things that's going on in this world and everything that's going on in, and then they let their soul starve as they just feed the flesh, and it's like a drunk who feeds his drunkenness and starves his children. That's what it is to starve our souls. And God help us to be more careful for our souls. Because I know this, if it's well with the soul, then everything will be well with the body too.
Amen.
You tend to the soul first. And I'll tell you something about tending to the soul. It's more to it than accepting Jesus or letting Jesus into your heart. It's more to it than coming to the front. It's more to it than joining the church. For a soul to be well with God, for a soul to be well, it's more than just raising your hand and asking for prayer. It's more than just walking the front. It's more than going and talking to the preacher. It's a lot more than that. You know, you lose your soul, you can't get it back. It's gone forever. You lose your health, it can be recovered. You can get over that. You can get well again. You lose your living even. You can get another job. You can recover it. But boy, when you lose your soul, oh, it's a horrible thing to think about. But here our Lord Jesus gives a term to sin. He calls it debt. There in verse 12, He says, "Forgive us our debts." Here He calls sin a debt. Why is sin called a debt? Because it's like a debt. It's like a debt. And a debt is due. When you owe a debt, it must be paid. It can be called due. And a debt is something that's owed. It's a debt that's owed. And what do we owe God? We owe Him exact, perfect, and perpetual obedience. And the moment that we fail in that, we go in debt. We owe God our love, our hearts, our soul. And when we can't give Him that, we become in debt. I want to show you something in Leviticus 22. Now you look over here with me, just one verse of Scripture, Leviticus. Leviticus 22. Third book in the Bible, Leviticus 22. You know, and there's nothing worse than owing a debt and not being able to pay it. And we owe exact, perfect, perpetual obedience to God, and we're not paying it and can't pay it. And we can't pay what is due, and when you can't pay what is due, the debt starts accruing. The debt just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. In Leviticus 22:21, it says this, "And whosoever offer the sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish His will, or a freewill offering in bees or sheep," now watch this, "it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish in it." So what this tells us is this, if there's going to be anything we offer to God, anything of our time, anything of ourselves, any prayer, anything that we give to God out of our heart, it's got to be perfect to be accepted. And if it ever ceases to be perfect, then you're in debt right then and there. And you know why they kept offering the same sacrifices? They offered a lamb every morning. They offered a lamb every evening. And when a man sinned, he'd bring a beef, he'd bring a bullock, he'd bring a lamb, he'd bring a goat, he'd bring a doves, he'd bring pigeons, according to what he had. And he would bring those and he'd offer them to cover his sin, to wash his sins away and make himself acceptable. And those were offered over and over and over again. Why? Because they never paid the debt. They just made the person conscious that they were in debt to God. And so with sin, and thy Lord calls it a debt. And oh, what happens in case of non-payment? You know, if you owe a debt, and we see it in the news all the time now, they talk about it all the time. In case you can't pay your debts, a man can go to jail if you don't pay your debts. They can put you in jail for not paying your debts. Or you can go bankrupt. You can file bankruptcy. You can't do that with God. You can file bankruptcy in this world and beat people out of things, but you cannot beat God by filing bankruptcy. Or, in the case of non-payment, you can go to jail, you can go bankrupt, you can lose everything he has, just turn it over to your debtors. Or you can have your wages attached. If you don't pay, they can attach your wages and say, "I'll just take it out of your wages." Well, let's look over here in Matthew 18. You know, and this is the thing. Here's the thing. God's not like this world. God's not like this world. And without forgiveness, forgive us our debts. Without forgiveness, we're goners. We're goners. Look what it said here in Matthew 18 and verse 23. I'm in Luke 18. I'm in the wrong place. What in the world? I'm in Luke. I'll get over here in a minute. Let me find it. I'm sorry. Matthew 18:23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. He calls all of his servants. He says, that's what we are. We're servants. God's the great king. His kingdom. And when he had begun to reckon, call in here. Give an account. One was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. But for as much as he had not to pay, now watch what happens. His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And that's where we're at. God calls us to give an account. And if we ain't got the money to pay, what's going to happen? And that's what happens. That happens all the time in this world. But oh, without forgiveness, without forgiveness. Back over in our text again. Look at this. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Look what our Lord said in Matthew 5:25. He said, agree with thine adversary quickly. Agree with him while you're in the way with him. Confess, own up. He's your adversary. You owe him. Lest any time the adversary deliver you, go up to the judge. Deliver him over to the judge. And the judge shall find him guilty. He delivers you to the officer. And then you're cast into prison. He said, I'm telling you, you ain't coming out of there until you've paid the uttermost farthing. And how can you pay when you're in jail? Now, how are you going to get out of jail unless somebody comes and pays your debt? How are you going to get out of jail until that uttermost farthing is paid? How are you going to get out of that prison unless somebody comes and pays your debt for you? And that's why sin is called a debt. And in what sin is, what sense is sin the worst debt? First of all, it's the worst debt sin is because we got nothing to pay. We can't pay. If we could pay, why would we say, Father, forgive us? Why would we say, if we could pay, why would we say, Father, forgive us? You know what we'd say? I'll pay you. We can't say, have patience with me and I'll pay you all because we can't pay any of it. Huh? We can't pay the principal, let alone the interest. Adam's transgressed by one man, sin entered this world, and death passed upon all men because all that have sinned. Yeah. And that one sin, just that one sin that we inherited from Adam, that alone would destroy us. Yeah, that's right. That imputation of that one sin of Adam's, what would it do to us if God called us into account just for that one? Now, what about our actual sins? Not only, I read last Wednesday night, you know, that if a man knows to do good and doeth it not, what does it say? To him, it is sin. It's not enough to say, I haven't done. But the question is, have you done? Have you done good? Have you done righteous? Have you done well? Have you obeyed God? Have you honored God with your words? Have you honored Him with your thoughts? Have you honored Him with your soul? And that's why, beloved, all of us have to throw up our hands and say, no! And oh, beloved, we can't, if we had anything to pay, we wouldn't say, forgive us. Just have patience with me and I'll pay y'all. And sin's the worst debt because it's against infinite majesty. It's against God. Sin wrongs God. And that's what makes it infinite. Sin's against God. It's bad enough to sin against a husband, sin against a wife, sin against a child. But all sin is ultimately against God Himself.
Amen.
David said, it's against you and you only that I've sinned. Now he took Bathsheba to be his wife and he had her husband killed. And yet he says, you know who I sinned against? I sinned against you. Every sin I've done, it's been against you. And I tell you why I'm going to confess my sin against you. So that when you judge me, when you judge me and I stand before you, you'll be clear. I got nothing I can say in your presence because you know. And next thing he says, so this, wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. And all beloved, all sin, the sinner, and I tell you, I know this from me, the sinner would not only unthrone God, but would unguard God if he could. That's why sin is the worst debt. It's not right, people think, for God to call me into question for my character, for my attitude, for my nature, and the things that I do. You know, men in their minds and actions and false preachers, they've taken God out of God, if I could say it that way. They're bigger than God. God can't do anything unless He lets them. They're stronger than God, wiser than God, more just than God, more loving than God. They say, my God wouldn't do this. My God wouldn't say, no, He wouldn't let anybody go to hell without giving them a chance. My God's got to do this thing, the other thing, and everything. But the God of the Bible, He found us all guilty and in debt from Adam.
Amen.
Can you be more loving than God Himself? You want to know the love of God? Look at Christ on the cross. You won't see the justice of God. Look at Christ on the cross. I would have never given my son for the soul of my sin. But God in infinite wisdom and mercy, we sinned against Him infinitely when He gave an infinite sacrifice. Sin's an infinite thing against God, so He gave a sacrifice to put away our sin. Oh my. And sin's the worst debt. Because it's a multiplied debt. Look what it says. It says, forgive us our debts.
Yes.
Debts. Debts. I'll tell you this. I know a man can know how much he owes in this world. A man can sit down and figure up every nickel he owes in this world. Right down to the penny. He can sit down and say, this is everything I owe. We know everything we owe at the end of the month. And this is what's got to be paid. We can doubt down to the penny. But you cannot number your spiritual debts.
No, sir.
Huh? The thought of foolishness is sin.
Yeah.
And oh my goodness, you think of us. Oh, the thought of foolishness is sin. That's what God said. And sin's the worst debt because it's inexcusable. It's inexcusable. It's inexcusable. There's no reason. There's no denying the debt. No, there's no some debts you can deny. And there's been times, you know, you get charged with a debt and you go to the place and say, no, that's not my debt. I didn't make that debt. You all made a mistake here. You've charged me too much. I didn't make that debt. And you'll go and you'll go to the extreme so you won't have to pay something you do not owe. I know it's funny. They told me up there in Harrisburg last week that one fella got a $16,000 light bill. And the electricity had been off for 7 or 8 days on account of an ice storm. And he went to the electric company and they said, oh, that's a mistake. Well, of course it's a mistake. But we won't go pay no debts we don't owe. But all beloved, if we say I have no sin, we can't deny this debt before God. We can deny some debts in this world, but we can't deny this debt. If I say I have no sin, Job said, my own heart reproves me. 1 John 1:8 says, if I say I have no sin, I make God a liar. If I say I have not sinned, oh my, you know what sin is? It's what we are. We can't help but sin. You know, as being sinners, what can you do but sin? Do you know how much sin goes on in our lives, even while we're sitting in a service like this? We owe God the utmost and absolute reverence and love and attention. And I know you do it, our minds go here and they go yonder. We're thinking about what we're going to do tomorrow, what we're going to do after service, where we got to be. What this, and our mind goes here, yonder. We fall asleep, we get weary, we get tired. Our mind just shuts down. And all of those things, those are sin. We get down to pray and our mind just goes, phew! Pick up a Bible and start reading it, and it just seems like we'll read the same thing over and over and over and over again. But pick up a newspaper or a magazine and just get engrossed in an article in it. You don't do that. I can tell by the way you're looking. But oh my, if I say I have no sin. Oh. And I tell you, look over here in Psalm 49 with me just a minute. I'll tell you this, nobody else can pay the debt for you. That's why we pray. It's just like Daryl did this evening. Prays for his own family. Prays for our family. Look in Psalm 49. Nobody else can pay this debt for you. Look what it says there in verse 6. Psalm 49:6. Nobody else can pay this debt for you. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother for him, nor give to God a ransom for him. Oh my. No matter how much money you got, you can't buy a soul. No matter how much money you got, you can't give to God a ransom for your sins to pay you out the debt from God. Huh? Now, you may be in debt and a friend may come along and pay your debt for you. Now, let me take care of that for him. And when a man dies, he's free from debts. Debtor can't come after him anymore. When he's dead and gone, they can't say, well, I'm going after him. He can't. He's dead. He's dead. A man may leave the country and hide from his creditors. But David says, oh, there's no place that I can go and flee from your presence. There's no place you can go from the presence of God. Some people can get some protection from their debts. You know, when husbands and wives get divorced, you see these little ads in the paper that says, I'm not from such and such a date. I'm not responsible for any debts but my own. When people are getting divorced, they put that little ad in the paper, you know. And I hope I never see none of yours in there. But I'm not responsible from this day forth. I'm not responsible for anybody's debts but my own. And beloved, no one can pay them sins the worst debt because it is excusable. There's no denying it. No one else can pay it. And sin is the worst debt because man, if the debt is not paid, God will put him in prison and put him there forever.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, forgive us. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts. I don't want to be separated from God. I don't want to hear God say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't want to hear God say, depart from me because I denied my sin, because I said I had no sin, because I didn't see the awfulness of sin, the heinousness of sin, the infinity of sin, make excuses for my sin. Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to see you. I don't want to hear of you. Miles McKee's brother died the other day. And he's on his way to Ireland. Got there this morning. His brother's 2 years older than him. Miles 57, his brother's 59. And his brother died in his sleep. And his Bible was laying beside him where he'd been reading his Bible. And he fell asleep and he never woke back up. But I asked Miles, I said, Miles, ask him on the phone, I said, do you have a good hope for your brother? He said, I do. I do. Have a good hope for him. There's a lot of people. There's a fellow in Greg Elmquist's church committed suicide a couple weeks ago. What kind of hope did you have for a person like that? That's what I'm telling you. Sins are dead. And say, God, forgive me of my debts. Forgive me of my sin. David said, oh Lord, forgive me of mine iniquity has gone over my head. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Blessed is the man to whom sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom sin is forgiven and is covered. And oh my, God forgive us. That's why we pray, forgive us. And I'll tell you something else about debtors. Without forgiveness of our sin, we have the character of bad debtors. A bad debtor does not want to be called to account. They don't want to be called to account. We ignore those, and people ignore us all the time who tell you your debts and that there'll be a reckoning one day. And Romans 14:12 says, we shall all give an account to the Lord. I'll give an account to the Lord. I will. I give an account every day to God. You know, God calls me to account every day. And I'll tell you, if there's no somebody not to take care of my account, what am I going to do? I don't want to give an account for myself and stand up there and try to justify myself and say, I've done this, I've done that, and I didn't do this, I didn't do that. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to the Lord.
Right.
And oh, beloved, and a bad debtor, I'll tell you something about a bad debtor. He's unwilling to confess his debt. He'll put it off, try to not think about it, make less of it, make excuses instead of confessing it. It's like Adam, it's the woman that you gave me. Eve said, it's the serpent that you let get in the garden. When God told Saul, said, you go down there and you slay all the Amalekites, you slay every one of them, everything that rises and wriggles, every beast, everything that's down there. Well, they got down there and they killed everybody but the king. And God told him, said, start with the king. And next thing you know, he brought back all the best lambs, he brought back the best calves, he brought back the best of everything. And Samuel said, what's this bleeding I hear? Did not God tell you to go down there and destroy everything in the mountain? Don't even kill the infants even, because if you let them live, they're going to come back and destroy you. They'll grow up one of these days and they'll be out for vengeance and they'll get you. This is what sin is. If God don't destroy it all, it'll come back to destroy us.
Yes.
And oh man, he said, we got down there and said, I thought I'd bring the king up here just to show how much power we've got. And also the people got down there and they wanted all them spoils. He blamed it on the people. He didn't say, I disobeyed God. He didn't say, I sinned against God. It's the people that done it. It's like Aaron, when Moses come down off the mountain and he said, what is this, Moses? He said, well, the people gave me gold and I threw it in the fire and I come again. You know, if people, I know this about believers. I know this about believers without a shadow of a doubt. They do not justify their sin. They don't justify it. They confess it. They ask forgiveness of it. They own up to it. And you know, our Lord says, for this judgment have I come into this world, that they which see not, those that are blind, might see. When we say, Lord, I am so blind. I need somebody to give me sight. I need to see so much I don't see. Oh, please give me sight. I'm blind. That they which see, not might see, and that they which say, I see, I got it figured out, I know what I need to do, I know how to act, I know how to approach God, I know how to be saved, I know how what just, I know how to get right with God, I know how to make peace with God. When they say, I see, Christ says, I for judgment, I cause them to be blind. Lord, I see not. Give me sight. And oh, beloved, a bad debtor is apt to hate his creditor. You know, when you owe somebody something and you can't pay and you don't intend to pay a lot of time, you know what you do? You dodge the person you owe. You dodge them. You don't answer the phone. But oh my, you can't do God that way. And they make the debt less. And this is something that this is our society. This is it. They make the debt less because the creditor has lots of money. He, you know, if I don't pay him, that ain't going to hurt him any at all. He's got plenty of money. That's not the point. If you owe it, you pay it. And that's what this society don't know anything about. They think that they don't owe anybody anything that's got more than they have. In fact, they think those who have plenty owe them something. And that's the way a lot of people view God. He's got everything, I don't, so He just owes me. And oh, but beloved, how they are reproved. And let's tell you, there's two valuable lessons here about this forgive us our debts. How they are reproved to hate to be in debt. And I hate to be in debt. Some of you hate to be in debt. How they are reproved to hate to be in debt, but never ever consider their sin, which is the worst debt that you can possibly ever owe. Huh? And oh, if a sin be a debt, if sin be a debt, let us be humble before God. I can't pay it. In my hands, what did the hymn writer say? In my hands, no price I bring. No price I bring. Oh. And there's confession in this. Forgive us our debt. When you ask for forgiveness of debt, you're confessing you're a debtor. When you ask for forgiveness, you're saying, oh, I've got a debt and I can't pay it. You're confessing, oh, I've got not just debt, I've got debts and I can't pay them. I owe them, but I can't pay them. Please forgive me. I can't come up with, there's no way in the world I can come up with what you'd require for me to pay you. I can't come up with perfection. I can't come up with enough love to you. I can't come up with enough obedience for you. I can't come up with enough tears for you. I can't come up with enough repentance. I can't even come up with enough faith to put my sin away. I cannot pay that off. And oh, pray, oh God, for Christ's sake, since I can't pay, since I can't love, since I can't repent enough, since my tears, I can't cry enough. Lord, for Christ's sake, would you forgive me of my debt? Forgive me of my sin? For Christ's sake, would you cleanse me from my sin? Would you forgive me of my debts and put them all away? Would you please, for Christ's sake, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin? Would you do that? And that's what we pray. Oh, and I tell you, it says in 1 John 1:7, 1 John 1:7, oh, one of the most blessed verses in all the Word of God. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us all our sin. And you know, And I know you do it too. There's so much that we leave unconfessed. So what do we do? Say, Lord, Thou knowest. We're like Simon Peter. Lord, Thou knowest. But ain't you glad? Ain't you thankful? Don't you bless God that the Lord Jesus Christ's blood cleanses from all sin? And that God, for Christ's sake, forgives us of all our sin. Sins we have committed, sins we will commit, and sins right to the end of time. Forgiven. Oh. Our Father, oh gracious, gracious Father, bless this word to our hearts and our understanding. Oh Father, we do understand to some degree how awful sin is and who it is that we sin against. But Lord, we come and as you told us in this prayer that you taught us to pray, forgive us. And so Lord, we've prayed and we've asked you and we're confident and thankful that you have forgiven us of all of our iniquity, forgiven us of all of our sin, all of our transgressions, all of our trespasses, all of them's been gone. Our debt's been paid. Our debt's been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ, His blessed blood. washed away all sin, washed away your wrath and your justice that demanded our payment. Father, we thank you for that. God bless the gospel to our hearts tonight. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Did you hear what Jesus said to me?